springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer.
And who doesn't hard to disagree there with Sinatra and Cole Porter? They say Paris never disappoints, even if you only follow the well-worn path from the Eiffel Tower to the Louvre to Notre Dame. But is there a way to feel a little less like a tourist and more like a local? Well, perhaps Karen Creed is well placed to answer that question. Karen, you lived in Paris for 2 years. So is there a way to be more like a local?
There definitely is. I mean, you mentioned a lot of the tourist spots there, but even visiting and having seen all of those straight off, choosing a district to stay in and explore, you can mix with the locals. I have to say, straight off, you mentioned the Eiffel Tower, a beautiful landmark, but not worth it to necessarily go and queue like all the masses to view it. Instead, my recommendation is go, as I was recommended by my good friend when I arrived, to Tour Montparnasse. You might not have even heard of it. It's in the Montparnasse region and it's one of the tallest buildings. There's no queues, it's cheaper, and you actually get the most amazing view of this city.
As good as you'll get from the Eiffel Tower?
Probably better, because I suppose, like with an amazing building like the Eiffel Tower, once you're on it, you don't have the view of it, essentially, and everyone wants the photograph of that one. So for the best photo opportunity, climbing Montparnasse, you get a great view also of Montmartre, which a lot of people will go to for the Sacré Cœur, the beautiful little markets. So starting off in Montparnasse, you're also getting a taste of great food, because if once you come down from that tower, you go to Rue de Montparnasse and you have the Creperie Mile. Straight off, you've got beautiful crepes, you've got galettes, which are the savoury crepes, and pretty much you can spend about €3 to €5 and you can enjoy this, I suppose, taste of Paris that is not really well known around unless you actually live there.
You're making it sound, Karen, like not such an expensive city after all. Now, I suppose the first thing you have to get right is where you lay the head. And you reckon it's possible to get into an apartment just like the locals?
See, I think, I suppose, straight off, you know, if you're going to try and live like the local, getting an apartment or a studio, which is probably more likely in terms of keeping costs down, is far more suitable than a hotel. If you want to stay in a nice area, Le Marais is the area in the third district. It's a very central location. It's a bit of a rags to riches story in the sense that it started out very much where it was wealthy, then it became a slum, and then it was rejuvenated again. And now, if you mention that you're going to the Marais, you know you're staying somewhere very chic. You will do a lot of people watching. A lot of people say that the medieval streets with their little cobblestones and their boutiques and their wine shops are a little overpriced. But I have to say, there's little pockets of very reasonably priced streets where you can find lovely little studios to rent for two nights, a week, a month. So it's that type of an area.
How do you? I presume you find them on the web.
You find them on the web, and there's numerous websites that we've spoken on this program before: Airbnb, Housetrip.com. You just key in as well, I suppose, the area that you want to stay, because Paris is not a big city, but there's a lot to see within it. So I wouldn't recommend taking on the entire city when you're there. I would base yourself somewhere like the Marais and take in that region. It's described by the French as bobo, which means trendy, and you will definitely feel that when you're there.
One thing I hear is that people with local knowledge, the Parisians themselves first and foremost, can get to the opera for just €5. Tell us more.
Yeah, and this is one of the many things, I suppose, once living in Paris, there are so many websites that, you know, straight away the residents will give you, but certainly going to the one of the second opera houses in Bastille, if you arrive there at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll see a queue has probably already formed. Straight off at 6 o'clock, the doors open and there's 30 people who will get tickets for €5. It's well worth it to do. Again, on the weekends it's that little bit busier, but during the weekdays, anytime I tried to queue, I got my ticket for less than €10. So it's just one of those ways to experience an aspect of Paris that isn't expensive. Similarly, if you were to do something during the daytime, I know the Seine is just stunning. It's absolutely beautiful with all its bridges, especially the one with the locks, the love locks, as they say. But I would avoid the Seine if you're on a time limit and go to the canal. It doesn't sound the nicest, but my God, they have really rejuvenated this part of the city that was considered to be quite a slum. Probably a lot of homeless people living along there. They've really helped rejuvenate that part of the city with lovely restaurants, bars, boat trips down the canal. And again, a very cheap part of the city. If you can go to somewhere like a cafe, like Ten Bells or Rue Vinaigrier, beautiful cafes.
How well is it called the Canal District, or how do you get at it?
You know, that's another thing as well. You can ask people and they won't bite your head off. I think people are scared of Parisians, thinking that every Parisian, you know, doesn't want their space invaded, doesn't want to be asked questions. It's quite the opposite. It's just if you catch a French person off guard and they're rushing to a business meeting, like anywhere, they won't want to help you. But most Parisians will guide you. The only thing I have to say is the language, the pronunciation of things might be confusing. So ask them to just write it down for you. But the canal stretches for quite a distance. So I would get your map out and point exactly where in the canal you might want to go to.
One of the great attributes of Paris, of course, is the metro, the underground. It's so all-embracing. You can get anywhere fairly simply within a couple of hundred yards maybe of where you want to go to. But there's another way of getting around as well.
There is, and it's, you know, popular here in Dublin too, this bike hire system, the Vélib as it's known in Paris. Just very efficient, very reasonable. I mean, €1.70 per day to use it, and it's a hop-on, hop-off system. What is great though is that the points of where you pick up the bikes are pretty much within every eye angle. Literally, you don't have to search for them, and that's a really nice thing when you're not wanting to have to go off the beaten track that much. In terms of taking a bike ride, I would recommend, actually, if you have it in you, to cycle uphill and go towards Butte Chaumont, which is a beautiful park in the 19th district up north. What is lovely about this park, it's not as popular as, say, Jardin du Luxembourg and all the really beautiful ones that we know from the movies, but a lot of movies are actually filmed here. So there was many a day that I would sit there with a coffee in one of the restaurants or a glass of wine, and you'd watch a movie being filmed. You know, it's just pretty incredible. And it's one of those places where you feel like, yes, I am among the locals. I know it because I don't feel tourism around me.
Now, you mentioned earlier about the crepe mile, I think it was, but there's more to Paris and eating in Paris than crepes.
There is. There definitely is. And if you go, you have to have steak frites. It is just so good. What I really like, though, is just the fact that you can eat at any hour. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, because it's not necessarily that you're out, say, for example, clubbing till whatever time in the morning in Paris. Paris is just alive till any time of the morning, even if you're just strolling about the city. There are many places that will continue to serve food till 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. A really well-known one, known as the Tin Cup, Le Tambour, is just a very eccentric place if you're up in Montmartre, just to really embrace the fact of all the locals huddled in together. You've quite a mixture of post-opera people to, you know, students who are on a budget, and whether you're ordering just a cheese platter or, you know, your onion soup or just having a drink, they're one of those few places where you don't feel like, you know, you're stepping out just for having something small, and it's nice, you know.
If you haven't been to Paris before, I think you need to think about, if you like steak, what the difference is between their version of medium rare and ours.
You order bien cuit, like, without a doubt, you know, well done, because God help, yeah, I mean, there's been situations where, you know, blood infused dishes have arrived out. They like their food a certain way, and in certain places they will insist on serving it a certain way. So embrace that as well, because sometimes you might be appalled when you ask for the translation of something, and we know frog's legs and snails and all of these delicacies, but there's a lot more as well. And what you find as well, it's not always, I suppose, the high-end restaurants you have to go to in Paris. There's an area, Rue Montorgueil, and it's the only street that is food only being sold on this street. It's just a haven if you want to walk during the daytime, picking up little things, things you can bring home as well, because a lot of jarred food, and then eating in one of the restaurants, a definite recommendation of mine.
And speaking of things you can bring home, Karen, it's also a city, of course, that's synonymous with fashion. Now, do locals have any particular secrets that you got them to share with you about the best places to go for that maybe vintage handbag, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I would.
At the right price?
Well,
I
don't know if there is essentially a right price. I did find, I remember Rue Houdon was my favourite, Houdon, if anyone is going. But Montmartre and the Marais are probably the two areas where they retain, I suppose, that boutique and individual store about them. There's a lot of secondhand vintage stores in Paris, and because we know it's such a fashion capital, people who have a lot of money decide, you know what, I'm going to offload all my old stuff into one of these stores, so you could come across something that is, you know, to die for in the world of fashion and get it for a great price. And just in terms of, I suppose, you know, for people who don't have an interest in fashion, even wandering these streets and just seeing how they do their displays. I mean, it definitely is a lesson for anyone who works in window displays, walking down any of those streets. Even as much as I try to tell people avoid the Champs-Élysées, it's worth it just to see how they do fashion.
The thing I suppose about Paris is that there's always something new to discover there. They say if you're bored with Paris, you're bored with life.
You are. And you know, the thing I would say to anyone going to Paris is self-discovery. I know we can go to guidebooks. We are flooded with them nowadays. But I definitely think that is the best part of Paris. You can come back with your own find, whether it was a restaurant you found, a new boulangerie that a star baker had made, this fabulous croissant or pain au chocolat. And that's what's so wonderful about Paris. Everyone takes their own piece of it. It sounds very cliched. It probably is. But that is Paris for you.
Karen Creed, thank you very much for that virtual tour.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.